Often when you go out bushwalking, you get to a point in the track where the path goes between this narrow gap between those two stone walls. And you know, you go up and you try and kind of force your way through, and you realize it's just not going to work. You're not going to get through front on. You have to take off your backpack. You have to kind of pull the gut in and breathe as you kind of slike your way, you know, through the gap just to get through. And sometimes, you know, especially for me, it's kind of getting down a little bit lower and ducking under the rocky outcrops. But inevitably, you know, the view on the other side makes it any of those efforts, any of those struggles, certainly worthwhile. And I think it becomes, you know, a good kind of example of how we can enter into life. You know, the Lord wants us to come into the vision of God. He wants us to be part of that assembly of the nations, all gathering together from east and west, from north and south. You know, the vision that we have in the prophet Isaiah today, it comes from the very final section of the last chapter of the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters of incredible work, as Isaiah kind of ponders what to do in this last section after the exile, after the people have lost everything, all of their hopes and dreams have been shattered. And yet the vision of God is still there, calling them, inviting them to return. The vision that they first heard way back at the beginning of recorded time, when Abraham was invited to leave his house, his father, his land, to go to a place and a people that God will show him. And he was told that you will be a source of blessing, not just for your community, not just for your family, not just for the nation that you will become, but you'll be a source of blessing for all the nations. That's God's vision. This involves everybody in this plan. But Jesus tells us today, and Luke reminds us, that Jesus is on his way. He's on this great road trip that we have in the Gospel of Luke, from the end of chapter 9, verse 51, through all the way to chapter 19, verse 41. These 11 chapters of this road trip, where Jesus speaks primarily these parables and these examples to remind the disciples how to be disciples, how to be faithful, how to live this way of life. And someone comes up, "Lord, will there only be a few who are saved? How many will be saved?" You know, it's one of those kind of standard questions that we get in the Christian world, you know, full of Christianese, and we ponder and we argue about, you know, will it only be Catholics who are saved? Will it be other people who are saved? Or will it only be the Protestants who get through? Will it only be those people who surrender themselves and commit themselves to Jesus? Will it be those who are baptized as adults? Will they be the only ones who are saved? There's all these debates, you know, across the centuries and continuing through to today. But know that Jesus doesn't actually answer this question. You know, there are over 180 questions that Jesus is asked across the four Gospels. And he only really answers, you know, a handful of these questions. He responds usually with another question. He asks over 300 questions. 307, I think, is the actual number of questions that Jesus asks. Here he doesn't ask another question. He gives this little sage advice. The Jerusalem says, "Try your best." I don't think it's quite strong enough. Strive is probably a bit stronger. It's this word agonisthai, and it's this sense of really putting all of your energy, all of your effort into entering through the narrow door. How do we get through that gap in the rocks? And sometimes it is that we have to strip ourselves off of the things that are encumbering us, things that are preventing us from getting through, those habits, those attitudes of life. Sometimes it's those relationships that have gone sad or gone sour, and we haven't been able to really make amends for our part in all of that. There are things that have attached to us along the way, and we need to be free from all of those things. It's interesting that in the Gospel of John, when Jesus gives the example that says that he is the Good Shepherd, another image that he uses in that same chapter in John is to say, I am the gate of the sheepfold. So to get into this narrow gate, I think one of the answers is that we have to remember that Jesus is the shape of that gate, that Jesus is the sign and the example of how we get through the narrow entrance into the wide field of God's mercy and God's kindness. So if we are to get through this gate, we need to get rid of anything in our lives that aren't like Jesus, to get rid of anything that prevents us from living like Jesus, from loving like Jesus, from slowly becoming more like the Savior that has invited us into freedom and into life. So we need to surrender, to let go of those things so that we can become more closely united to the way of Jesus. And of course, the way that Jesus is, the shape that Jesus takes, is most clearly defined when he's on the cross, when he opens wide his arms to embrace us, to embrace all of humanity, all of the nations from north and south, from east and west. He's inviting us into this life and into this freedom. The letter to the Hebrews tonight gives us further guidance on this, saying, you know, what parent among you doesn't love their children enough and wants to correct them, wants to shape them, wants to form them, wants to fashion them into the people that God wants them to be? And so God is doing this work in us as well, offering us these corrections, offering us these reproofs, giving us these disciplines in order to become more like Jesus, in order to become more free and more able to enter into the mercy and wonder of God. So the question I'm going to leave you with tonight is, well, what is that thing? What's in my backpack that I need to let go of? What's the thing that I can surrender today? Maybe it's, you know, surrendering 10 minutes of watching TV or being on social media in order to be free to pray. Maybe it is that relationship that's gone bad and I need to reach out and connect with that friend. Maybe it is just a habit that I've formed and that I realize is just not helpful for me. Maybe it's an area of sin and maybe we need to come to the Sacrament of Reconciliation this week to confess that and be free from that thing. But to take a few minutes tonight, just to sit in the presence of the Lord, to let him love us and to really let him hold us and call us into that freedom, invite us into that space. And just to see, what might the Lord put on our hearts? What might be the thing that frees us today to be the people that God wants us to be, to surrender in the way that he wants us to surrender tonight, in order that we can be free to love and be free to enter through that narrow gate into the wide expanse of God's mercy and kindness prepared for us today.